Please turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 1, and I'll be reading to verse 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day will be raised again." They remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense to them. Peter, however, he got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust your word. We can stand on your word. Lord, open our hearts and just allow these words to come into our very soul, our very being this morning. That maybe we are wondering, like Peter was wondering about these things. Help us to understand even more clearly than we do already. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember last year we weren't able to meet for Easter, and I remember saying that it was probably one of the strangest Easters I've ever encountered. I don't know about you, but they were strange times. We're living in strange times, and I remember very distinctly that walking around the town, there was a quiet sort of eeriness, like a heavy blanket that was sort of over the town. You know, the sort of feeling that you get with a heavy snowfall, you know, that hush at the time. Do you know what I mean? Well, say we're in the throes of the first lockdown then, and that was a time when I think most of us were thinking, well, this is going to be over pretty soon. It won't be going on for as long as we thought it would be. Well, this year, praise the Lord, we can meet together. And we can praise the risen Lord. I sort of got to wondering whether that sort of eeriness was felt by Mary Magdalene, Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, when they went to the tomb. You know, when they first arrived at the tomb and seeing the stone was rolled away, that quietness of the initial shock, seeing that tombstone rolled away. And revealing its emptiness. The shock of Jesus dying on the cross is one thing, because they were there, they witnessed that. That's one thing. But, you know, now seeing the empty tomb, that was something else indeed. The tomb was empty then, just as our churches have been empty for the last year. It's only now that some of us dare to come back. With our initial shock of not being able to attend our local services on the Sunday, let us remember now, before we go any further, that Christ is as much alive today as he was then. Our churches may have been empty, the tomb was empty, but he is still alive and we can still worship him. But let's also remember that the tomb wasn't opened to let Jesus out. it was opened to let the witnesses in. The witnesses had to go in. They had to see that that Jesus had risen. The whole point of the stone rolling away was so that the witnesses could give testimony to the fact that Jesus was not there. Come and see, go and tell was the message then. Come and see, go and tell was the message then. And that's the Easter mandate for the church today. Go and see, go and tell. So these witnesses talked about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ then. They were chatting to the apostles, weren't they? Let's do that today, shall we? Shall we do that today? Shall we do what those witnesses did all those years ago? They talked about the risen Christ. Well, let's do the same thing. Let's talk about Jesus to everybody that we meet. It's interesting. Well, I found it interesting. You might find it interesting, but there again, you might not. But I'm going to share it anyway. So it's interesting that whom God reveals himself to in the first instance. See, if you look back at the account of the birth of Jesus at Christmas that we celebrate, Christmas points directly to Easter. And God sends a host of angels to proclaim the good news to the shepherds. The shepherds are the lowest of the low at that time. You couldn't get anybody lower than shepherds. The Easter story, he sends angels to tell the women about the good news. And the women at that time were not much higher in their social standing than the shepherds. But the interesting thing is that the shepherds didn't hesitate to go and look for Jesus at that time. They didn't hesitate to go and look for baby Jesus. And the women didn't hesitate to tell the apostles what they had seen and what they had heard. Two of the lowest ranking people groups on the social scale at that time were given the good news first. I just find that really interesting. Why didn't the angels appear to the apostles? Because, let's face it, they were with Jesus for a while. Who knows? But what did they do with the information when they received it? They shared it. They shared the information. They didn't keep it to themselves. They didn't say, oh, well, okay, cool, I'll go home now then. I'll go and put some bread in the oven or something. They said, no, we need to go and tell the apostles what happened. The shepherds shared the news with everybody that they met, and the women shared with the apostles. But what did the apostles do when they heard the news? And this is another interesting bit. Don't forget, the apostles, you know, these guys have spent 3 years with Jesus, or more in some cases. They were learning from him. They were listening to him about his parables and everything. And more importantly, they had heard what he had to say about his own death. Well, this is what it says. But they, the apostles, did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Oh, dear. Okay, well, we can forgive that part, can't we? We can say, okay, you know, the guys, they're all grieving. They were all there at the death of Jesus. Many people that knew Jesus and they witnessed the death of Christ, you know, they were all grieving at the time. So perhaps we can just say, you know, we'll leave that bit. Peter, on the other hand, he was curious. He went to the tomb to see for himself. He went and had a look to see what the women were actually talking about. And there was the evidence before him. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying on by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Peter, the man whom Jesus was going to build his church, went away wondering to himself what had happened. This Peter saw Jesus do many miracles. This Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. And he actually climbed out of the boat himself to walk on the water to greet Jesus, his Saviour. But at this, he went away wondering what had happened. Now, to be fair, Peter's only human, after all. So I suppose he's allowed to wonder what had happened. That said, he was with Jesus for over 3 years. He should have known what had happened at that point, really. I think that's my view. After all, there was only a few days before that Jesus actually told Peter that he would deny him 3 times. So Jesus was and is true to his word, isn't he? You know, Peter should have realized. Christ is risen, hallelujah. The Lord is risen, he is risen indeed. Should have been Peter's response, I think. Well, maybe he was so aggrieved that he just didn't think it was true. He just couldn't get his head around it. I think that's much the same for us today, isn't it? We can tell people about the love of Jesus till we're blue in the face. And yet sometimes people just don't seem to want to listen. We can tell them that what they're looking for is a personal relationship with the risen Lord. And we can, you know, say to them that if you want a healthy spiritual life, you need to get in contact with Jesus. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And maybe you've heard, and I've heard very recently, that all roads lead to God. My mum used to say that. My mum was a spiritualist. Mum and dad were spiritualists, and I grew up practicing spiritualism. And they used to say, all roads lead to God. Well, that's a load of bunkum, okay? All roads do not lead to God. There's only one way to God, and that is through putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the whole point of the cross. That is the whole point of the cross. The cross was for the maximum effect for believers and non-believers alike. To give witness to the fact that Christ has indeed risen. When you witness something like that, you can't deny it. When you witness the fact of somebody dying and then seeing them alive again, you cannot deny it. Some people found it difficult to understand back then what was going on. And still, it's really difficult for people to understand now, in this day and age. The resurrection is not so much about the death of Jesus, although it is, because that part definitely had to happen. But it's more about the life he brings through his resurrection, through that death. It's not only just his resurrection that we are celebrating today, but it is ours as well. It is all the people that know Jesus, all the people that have put their trust in Jesus Christ, all generations. We have been set free because of this day in history. We have been set free. And I think that, for me, is remarkable. The more I think about it, the more I dwell on the fact that what Christ has done for me is quite amazing. Makes me quite emotional. Everyone has a new life in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. This is why we gather to celebrate. This is what it's all about. To remind ourselves about the gift of life that Christ has given us through the cross, through his death, and through his resurrection. Now, please don't mishear me when I say everybody has a new life in Christ who put their faith in him. Everybody does have a new life who put their faith in him. But we need to complete this life first. We have sickness in this life. We have tragedy in this life. We have all sorts of things that go wrong in this life. But be assured that Christ is with us. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, he is standing right with you. And yes, he may heal you. And he may sort out the difficult problems. But there again, he might not, because there's something greater waiting for you. There's something far greater waiting for you when he returns. Putting our faith in Jesus means our sin will be forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. That's the past sin, the present sin, and the future sin will be forgiven. All sin will be forgiven. But that doesn't mean to say that we can carry on sinning, thinking, okay, well, let's carry on doing that then, because that's good, because God's forgiven me for that. You can't do that. God doesn't like that. So you need to stop what you're doing and just focus on Jesus. If you know of anything that you're doing, just come before Christ, because he will help you to get over that situation. The good thing is he is slow to anger and swift to love. And he wants to help us. He wants to be with us. He wants to care for us. He wants to love us. Nicky Gumbel writes, Ali and I are going through the Bible in a year, and Nicky Gumbel is writing bits and pieces beforehand, which have been very useful to hear from Nicky Gumbel. Nicky Gumbel says, are you suffering with a long-term problem in your life that doesn't seem to get any better? Well, if we look in the Gospels, we can see that Jesus responds to people in these situations. How many people has Jesus responded to, can you think of, that has gone on, you know, having a long-term problem? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, 24, the sick woman who fell at Christ's feet was healed because of her faith. You may remember the story. She suffered constant bleeding for 12 years, and which was, you know, incurable at that time. And she heard about Jesus, and she responded with faith. She thought, if only I could touch his clothes, I will be healed. And as she reached out to touch the clothes of Jesus, her bleeding stopped immediately, and she felt in her body that she was set free from her suffering. What tremendous faith that lady had. But did she know she had that tremendous faith? That's the thing. Did she think, I've got tremendous faith here, and I'm just going to touch his clothes? Or did she just think, if I could just touch Jesus, I know I will be cured? Was it just a fleeting thought? But it is a remarkable story, isn't it? She was freed from her suffering. You see, Christ has done his part. Christ has done his part by dying on the cross. And we have to do our part. We have to exercise our faith. As good as it is today to be here in church celebrating for such a long time being away, we can't just stay sitting on our bottoms, can we? We've got to have faith. We've got to exercise our faith. We've got to get out there and share the love of Jesus. Somebody told you about Jesus Christ. Somebody had the guts to stand up and say, I need to tell you this. This great love of Jesus Christ. And we need to have that faith. We need to exercise our faith. And God will give us the words if we exercise our faith. He will give us the strength. He will give us the courage to stand up and say, I know somebody that can help you. Jesus Christ. That lady had tremendous faith. If only I had as much or half as much faith as she's got, I think I would be a different person. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Impact that on our hearts, Lord. Thank you again, Lord Jesus, that you remind us of what you did on the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you've done. But Lord, we need to be pushed to do our bit. Give us that faith. Increase our faith, Lord. For those of us who feel really timid, scared of talking to other people about our faith. Help us to show it in different ways, so then people will ask us a question that we can answer. Help us to step out, Lord, and share the good news. There's many people, even more so now over this last year, that are suffering with anxiety, that are suffering because of loved ones have passed away. They're hurting. They need your love. They need your care. Help us, Lord, to be your hands and feet at this time. Father, again, we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for this morning, for coming. For those that want to, feel free to come outside and sing our last song, Thine Be.